And I have a little video, if it works, that is, just to encourage you in who is this Jesus. And it's done by a Dr. King. I forget his last name. How many likes to follow Jesus? How many has no clue what that means? Well, honestly, for the disciples, they didn't know for sure what it meant. But they were discovering what it meant. And I'm on that journey too. I'm discovering more and more of who this Jesus is. That if it's coming. That was an ad for the football team. Maybe Craig needs a little help.
He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. I could describe him, but yet he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Is that your king? Do you know him? Let's read out of Mark chapter 5 about this king. How many are ready to know him more? I'm ready to go on this journey of discovering more of this Jesus who came to save us. It's called Who Touched Me? There it is.
When Jesus again had crossed over by the boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. Let's go to the next one. Okay, that's good. My friends, sometimes you need a breakthrough. How many here ever needs a breakthrough? Sometimes you're desperate. But Jairus was a religious leader. He's a ruler in the synagogue, which meant he was powerful, influential. Probably he was more wealthy than others. His very doctrine was opposed to Jesus. He was probably a Pharisee, and a Pharisee did not really welcome Jesus. Jesus was a threat to them. But this man had a need. His need was a daughter who was dying. And so he humbled himself so that he could get a healing for his daughter. He went to Jesus and he said, "Jesus, would you please help me?" And he went on his knees and humbled himself. And the Bible says the first step, my friends, to a breakthrough is through a prayer where you actually humble yourself. You realize without God, nothing can happen here. You are desperate. Without God's intervention, you cannot see way through this. How many has been in those kind of situations where you can't see your way without him simply stepping into your life? And this man is able to overcome his doctrine and his biases and said, "Jesus, have your way. Come, help my daughter. She's dying." And he humbled himself. And the Bible says, if you humble yourself beneath the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you in his time. I mean, thinks that's wonderful. So how do I get my breakthrough? Well, let's journey with him. It starts with praying. It starts with God giving you a promise. And the promise in the story is, Jesus, "I'll be with you. I'll go with you." How many likes when Jesus is with you in the storm? How many likes when he's with you when you need a breakthrough? And so he goes anticipating Jesus is going to go and heal his daughter who's deadly ill. And he's in a hurry and he presses in. "Okay, come on, Jesus, let's go." I know that if you touch my daughter, I touch my daughter, to be healed. Do you know what he has? It's called faith. Where did a man who is a Pharisee, who has a doctrine and was opposed to Jesus, get this faith from? I don't know for sure, but I suspect he got it because he heard somebody come to tell him about Jesus. How many had got faith because somebody at one time came to tell you about Jesus? And so he goes, and he's in a hurry. And Jesus walks to a crowd. And in the crowd, there's all kinds of people. But then something happens. If you don't mind turning to the next page. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house. No, go back, sorry. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him and the crowd and touched his cloak because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and here's what happens. She felt in her body that she was freed from the suffering. At once, Jesus realized the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and he asked, "Who touched my clothes?" You're going to have this picture, my friends, to understand the significance of this. Here's Jairus. And Jairus is desperate for his daughter to be healed. And my friends, many times when there's a need for a breakthrough, it comes when you're praying in faith, you receive a promise, "I'll be with you." And then comes a test. Then comes a time when you have to actually choose to persevere. You see, this man knows that timing is an essence. But Jesus, in the midst of his trying to get to this daughter, stops. If I was Jairus, I would say, Jesus, remember, in your journey to breakthroughs, there will, in my experience and in the Bible scriptures, I see there's usually some trial you got to overcome, some time when you have to persevere and you have to press in. Here's another story within the story of a woman who has an issue of blood. Now, back then, if the women had menstruation problem or whatever, they were not allowed to touch anybody. They were not allowed. They were isolated. They were not allowed to see anybody or touch anybody. It was against the law. Now, if you've been bleeding for 12 years, that means you've been isolated for 12 years. You would not have been allowed to go and touch and talk to people. So this woman, I don't know how she heard, but she heard something about Jesus as well. And she thought in her mind, if I only could just go up to his garment, he wouldn't even know. Nobody wouldn't even know. I would just go. Was it the garment that healed her? No. No. But in her mind, she thought, I could do this silently and quietly. And my friends, I want to say this too. I know many people too who think, if I can only have my Christianity quietly and on the back pew. I mean, just at home. If I can just turn on the TV and I don't have to do nothing, it will be the best. I can be saved and I don't have to tell anybody or do anything or be around people. I can just go and do it. And she thought, I can just go and do it. But if you want a breakthrough, you end up giving more than you expected, and you end up receiving more than you expect, because Jesus stopped. That was not in the plan. And he turns and he says, who touched me? And I don't know, but I suspect that he knew who touched her. I expect he looked right at her. And she was full of fear. Because she was full of fear that she was going to be cut and punished. I was just at a Bible study yesterday. And one lady came up to me after and she said, Hans, I had stopped coming. Because I thought I had to be good. I thought I had to be good. And I realized today, it was not about me being good. It was about me touching Jesus. My friends, if you want a breakthrough, sometimes you have to go where he is. But it's not about your goodness. It's about all what he has done for you. And so he does it. And I don't know for sure why Jesus stopped. And because he didn't have to. He could have kept going with Jairus and pleased Jairus. But he stopped. And you know what I believe? He stopped because he wanted to honor her. And he says to her, by your faith. He didn't say because of my faith, he didn't because of my power, but because of your faith. Do you know what got Jesus stopping in his tracks, no matter where he's going? It is faith. There's nothing that impresses God more than faith. But faith requires some action. How many of those requires some action? See, I had to overcome her fear. Some of you come to church the very first time and you had to overcome some fear. I remember when Barb came on a Sunday morning, and it was January, and it was minus 30, and it was one of those Sundays you think nobody comes to church. And there comes Barb in the back door, in the front door, and I said, hello, Barb, I am so impressed that you come out in a cold day like this. And she felt led by God to come. If you want a breakthrough, let God lead you. And sometimes it takes an action. And you've got to overcome fear. And she comes. And she receives a miracle. Because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in Jesus. It flows through him to her. And thank you, Jesus. In the meantime, Jairus is at his wit's end. And sure enough, here comes the trial for him. A message is given. Your daughter has died. Sometimes you are pressing through for a breakthrough. And when you think that there is hope, suddenly it is the opposite. Suddenly it looks in your fleshly eyes as if all hope is gone. How many has ever been there? And then Jesus does what he often does to you and I. In the midst of that trial, where you've been asked to persevere, you haven't seen the provision yet. He's saying this very famous things that he says many times. Do not be afraid. Just believe. Can I say that again? Just would you look at somebody now? I just look, turn to them and says, don't be afraid. Just believe. Just believe. Ron, don't be afraid, my friend. Just believe. So, where did this faith come from? Like with Jairus, she heard about it with this woman. I suspect she had too been bleeding. And I don't know if her husband, I don't know if he was married or one of her kids may have gone. And she saw, they saw Jesus healing this person and this person and this person. And they came home. Mommy, I know the answer to your problems. Come and meet the one who can heal you. And she believed something quickened in her heart. And she said, that is my answer. And she goes and overcomes her fears. And she receives. Last Sunday, we had a couple here from Rosetown who are friends of Bob and Wilmer, the pharmacist. And they had told him, why don't we go to Maple Creek and get prayed for? And their new Serena, the police officer's wife, and they called her and said, we're coming. And she said, well, Paul and Janet went and prayed for me one day when my ankle was twisted and they got healed. So last Sunday, they got up and they drove to church service to get prayed for. We don't heal people, God heals people, right? But they had to do something. They had to get up and do something. Sometimes faith requires us to do something. Sometimes, you know, we have an altar call, and sometimes all you have to do is get to the front. Last Sunday, I was sitting here, and Paul had a word for hearts, I think it was. Was it heart, Paul? I can't remember. I think that's for me. But guess what? I still sat there. Sometimes there is a need for pressing in. And when you're pressing in, there's usually a promise. But with the promise, it also calls a need to persevere. Jairus could have given up when he heard the message, your daughter is dead. And he could have run away and said, forget about that. But he didn't. He heard Jesus says, believe. My friends, faith comes from hearing. And hearing comes from the message of Jesus, comes from his word. Amen? I was just reading a book by a guy called Robert Toms. And Robert Toms lived in South Africa. And he had been in an orphanage. His dad died, and his mom sent him to a school, an orphanage school, or whatever what do you call those, residential schools. Had a bad experience. developed emphysema or some sort of coughing. And he started drinking, became an alcoholic, got married, had three kids, went into the military because he thought he could get a lot of free booze. And one day his wife had enough. And she said, "You take care of the two older ones, and I'll take the little one and leave, and you figure out what you're going to do with your life." He was sitting in his house, and he saw a lady coming up the sidewalk, the driveway, knocking on the door. And he opened the door, and she said, boldly, "Are you a Christian?" And he said, "Well, I'm a Methodist." He had grown up with some Methodist background. "Well, where is your Bible?" "Well, it's stored in my duffel bag somewhere." He said, "Well, go and get it." And then by this time he got mad and says, "Get out of my house, F, and whatever." You know, and she got scared and walked out. He shut the door. And then looked out the window and she came back. She wasn't going to run away. And he opened the door and she took a finger in his forehead and says, and started praying in tongues. And he said, "In Jesus' name, I command the spirit of alcoholism to leave you." And he said the presence of God fell on him and he got on his knees and he asked for repentance. And the spirit of God came in this man's life. And she said, "Come to church tomorrow." How many likes crazy stories? That's one of them. So he's on the way to his church the next morning. A friend called and said, "I have some money. Why don't we go to the bar?" So they went to the bar. Forgot about church. He said he drank for hours, but never got drunk. As he walked out of the bar, he said, "I'm not even drunk. What a waste of money." And he realized something had left me the day before. And he gave his heart to Jesus. His wife gave his heart to Jesus. His kids gave their heart to Jesus. And he began to be an evangelist in South Africa. But he had a problem. He knew he was called to healing. He prayed for people to get healed. But he still had the emphysema. And he coughed. And he coughed. And years went by and it got worse. He says, "God, you call me to heal and pray and preach. And I can hardly breathe." How many have been in a situation where you see other people touch, but you still struggle with it? So I'm telling this whole story because it's showing you how this journey of breakthrough came for this man. So one night, he was laying, and he was just coughing his heart out, and he says, "God, you got to do something. You call me to pray for the sick and to preach the gospel, and here I am coughing my life, my lungs out. I can barely breathe or talk." And God says, "No, you do something." So, okay. He went and got his pills. Okay, don't do this. Okay, don't do this unless God leads you to do it. He got his pills. They used for emphysema and whatever. I don't know what he used. And he poured it all down the sink. He says, "God, either I die or you heal me." He had four pillows. He took the three pillows, threw them off. And for once in years, he laid flat on his bed. Sure enough, he began to cough. And he became actually unconscious. And as he got unconscious, God brought him into a lake. And on the lake, he saw a man standing in the boat. And the boat was coming, and he realized it was the angel of death coming for him. And he looked underneath beneath the water, and he saw all kinds of people. He said it was the most horrible sight. And he began to quote Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters." No, he leads me beside the green. He leads me in the green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. "He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness. Even when I go through the valley of shadow of death, he's still there." And he began to quote that. And then when he did it again, and the second time, there was a gentle hand that kind of moved him out of there. Okay, this is in his unconscious state, okay? So he moves him out there and put him in this valley, in the meadow. He says, "God, why did you do that?" Again, it's in unconscious state. And God said, remember, you asked me to give your heart for the lost souls. And what you saw in that lake was lost souls. And then he woke up. And he had no more coughs. He had no more emphysema. What did he have to do? What did he have to do? He finally had to listen and take a step of faith. I don't ask you to do this unless God leads you to do something. But when there's a breakthrough, there's often a step of faith that you got to do. And in doing that, you have to overcome fear. Amen? Are you ready for one more story? How many knows that if you go in the Bible, this pattern is repeated many, many times? How many remember the story of Moses? Moses is called by God to deliver his people in Egypt. And he goes there, and he goes to Pharaoh, as God has instructed him to, and says to Pharaoh, let my people go. And what does Pharaoh do? He says, no way. And then he goes and says, let these people produce bricks without straw. And now the people get angry at Moses because not only has he come to give them a false promise, but he got very angry at them. And what does Moses do? What we often do when we are in that place, in the trials, before we see the breakthrough, he says, God, where are you? Why did you send me here? And then God gives him a promise. Amen. That's the pattern. That's the pattern. One time, and I guess I ended with this story. I was going to my father's funeral. And I was cheap, so I booked myself a cheap flight from England, from London, to Denmark. That's where I come from. And got on the plane in Calgary, landed in London, Heathrow, and realized that my cheap flight went from another airport in London, about an hour and a half bus ride. Now, in the plane on the way over there, I had said, God, I'm going to my father's funeral. Give me something to share with the people come there. And so he said, okay. And God gave me something he wanted me to share. When I landed in London Heathrow, I got on the bus, and the bus was stuck in traffic. So by the time I got to the other airport, I was about an hour and a half or 2 hours late. And I stood there and said, okay, I'm going to go and see him in the next place. The flight's going. This was Thursday, and the funeral was on Saturday. I go to the counter, and on the counter, I said, when is the next flight? And he said, it's 6 o'clock tonight. I said, good, give me a ticket. And he said, sorry, it's full, and there's five people in front of you. So I said, well, that seems like impossible. So I'll just stay overnight and get a flight tomorrow. Well, I go and I lay down and have a sleep, and I hear my name called on intercom. My sister calls and says, the funeral has been changed to tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, and you better get there. So I said, Lord, this was my exact prayer. Lord, if you want me to be at that funeral, you're going to have to do something. And then they dropped in me, let's go and see if there's another airline in this building. And there was another airline in the building. And I walked up to them and said, do you have a ticket for Denmark? And said, we have one left. I got on the ticket. It's going to Copenhagen, not exactly where I need to be, but I knew there was a train ride from there about 2 hours to where I needed to be. And if God just will line it up, I could reach that train before they close down for the night. And I landed there about a few minutes before 12, and I ran up and said, is there a train going to where I need to go? The place is called Violet. And she said, yes, there's a train going in 1 minute, and if you run down those stairs, you'll get it. I'm just sharing you this because I needed a breakthrough. It wasn't about healing, but it was about a breakthrough to do what I needed to do to where God wanted me to be. Amen. I could sit on my pew. I could have sat in that airport and says, God, you got to do something. And this. But sometimes God says, no, get up. Come on. Faith without works is dead. Sometimes you're going to fast and pray. Sometimes you're going to look to God's word. Sometimes you're going to have to come to church. Can you imagine? Sometimes you got to maybe actually end up doing something that is totally not what you thought you had to do. Amen? So can I have the worship team come?